Live Music Friday. That's coming to you live from our special guests here today in Studio S at WKAR, Juliana and Andy Wilson of the Springtails, their new CD, their most recent CD. And this came out in 2016, Rain or Shine. Was that the title cut by any chance?
Yeah, that was the title cut right there.
I thought I detected a little Come Rain or Come Shine in there. But they're a versatile duo, husband and wife duo. We'll be hearing from them throughout the course of the hour here on Current State Live on WKAR. Thank you for joining us here on Friday. All 110 of Michigan's state representatives are making their final push for re-election before voters go to the polls on November 8th. One of the most closely watched contests in mid-Michigan is the battle for the 71st House District, which encompasses most of Eaton County. The incumbent, first-term Republican Tom Barrett, hopes to stave off a challenge from the woman who held the post before he did, Democrat Teresa Abbott. Now, current state's Kevin Lavery is watching the contest in the 71st, and he joins me now in the studio. Kevin, welcome. You recently sat down with Teresa Abbott to learn more about her and her bid to return to the statehouse, right?
I did, Mark, and we should point out right here that we did make several attempts to reach Representative Tom Barrett to be interviewed for this story. As it turns out, we did get a voice message from Mr. Barrett's staff, but unfortunately, it arrived past our deadline. We will definitely connect with Mr. Barrett by next week to hear his thoughts on the race. For now, though, we are going to hear from Teresa Abbott. She's a mental health therapist from Grand Ledge. She served one term in the Michigan House starting in 2012. And 2 years later, she lost by a razor-thin margin of just under 150 votes. We started off talking about what she believes residents in the 71st District care about the most.
What I continue to see is that everyday people are not a priority. That what continues to be a priority is wealthy special interests and large corporations, and legislation that's being drawn up and policy seems to all be directed at giving tax breaks to large corporations and wealthy special interests, and they're really tired of a government that's not working for them.
Kevin, that sounds like a pretty familiar theme here in politics, this year included, that the people are not being heard. Who are the people in the 71st?
First off, Mark, it's a growing district in terms of its population. The 71st, like a lot of districts, is a blend of many urban centers like Delta Township, Grand Ledge, and Charlotte, and of course, a lot of smaller rural communities too. The urban zones tend to be more liberally minded, as you might predict, with rural voters tending to be more conservative. Also, the district has seen a significant influx of Hispanic residents in the past decade that is adding to the demographic makeup. Teresa Abbott says she knows this whole area quite well. She's a former Eaton County commissioner, and she has worked for many years in the local school district. She says it's critical for a state rep to be very accessible and communicate with all these groups. Here's a case in point. She recalls the now infamous Christmas week ice storm that we had back in 2013.
Some of us, even in the 71st, didn't know what was happening in one community versus another. So I was a catalyst behind all of us meeting all the different communities and bringing the leaders together to talk about, okay, what did we learn from this? How can we help support each other? Maybe nothing in our one town or one city got impacted, but another one did. How can we bring ourselves together as a 71st district and helping each other? You have to make sure that you're in touch with the mayors of each city or township or the township board or the city council. You need to make sure that you're in touch with those that represent those communities and the people in those communities.
So Teresa Abbott appreciates the value of staying connected with folks on the ground. I would think that the current state rep, Tom Barrett's trying to do the same. They're both canvassing the district, going door to door to make personal visits with the people they hope to represent.
That's true. Candidates for virtually all races, Mark, feel that there is a personal touch that comes from knocking on the doors and spending a few minutes one-on-one with the folks they meet. Teresa Abbott and I also talked about Representative Barrett's job performance in the House. This is his first term, and thus far, more than a third of the bills he has introduced were actually passed. That really is a contrast to Teresa Abbott's tenure in the House. None of the bills she sponsored ever made it to the governor's desk. I asked her about that. I asked her if that was a fair benchmark of her abilities as a lawmaker. Her answer surprised me a little. She says that statistic is, quote, disingenuous.
this is what people are tired of about government, is that what's important more to our Republican-led legislature is about politics, not policy. So even though I'll introduce a very important legislation, it won't even see a committee meeting because they're not going to let a Democrat, especially in a district like I'm in, ever see the light of day. So, but I want to tell you about how I handled that. I knew that was going to happen. And I got that right off the bat. People didn't want to help me pass any bills. So I would help someone else pass my bill. I don't have an ego where I need to have my name on a bill and say, see, this is what I passed. I want to get it passed, and I will work on both sides of the aisle to get it done. So what I would do is, if there was a bill I had, I would give it to someone else, and then I would work with them to get it passed. Or I would see a piece of legislation, and I would find someone on either side of the aisle to work with me, and then I would be a co-sponsor, or I would be further down on the list. That didn't matter to me. What matters to me is that we are truly advocating for bills.
I'll also point out, Mark, that Teresa Abbott says another thing people don't like about local governments, or state government rather, is that it passes too many bills. She says sometimes there's just too much interference from the state, and that in those circumstances, lawmakers just need to back off and let local control run its course.
Interesting, interesting. We mentioned earlier how close the 2014 race was between Teresa Abbott and Tom Barrett. What does she make of that?
Good question, Mark. That came up in our talk, too.
In 2014, you lost a re-election bid to the incumbent Republican Tom Barrett. Extremely close race, less than 150 votes.
Right.
You have obviously had some time to reflect on that. First of all, what do you think happened, and what did that defeat tell you about the mindset of your constituents?
It was definitely a reflection of it being a non-presidential year. And so what happened is over 11,000 people, less people got out to vote than in 2012. So that was why there was such a razor edge difference between us of 146 votes. So one of the things that I have been doing and making sure that I say to people at the doors or when I meet with them is just to say how important each vote is. I think that something like this, people were shocked. I mean, I had so many people say, well, you won, right? Or you're still in, or, you know, it'd be months afterwards, Teresa, you're still a representative, right? They had no idea. And I think they didn't realize how critical each election is. And I'm hoping what this imparted on people, whichever side of the aisle you're on, is that each vote really does make a difference. And so that's what I'm saying at the doors.
There were actually people in her district who didn't realize she was out of office, even months later. How about that?
Indeed. And I think that, again, speaks to Teresa Abbott's point of staying civically minded and plugged in to your government. And so while we're talking about being plugged in, this presidential campaign, even people who are just casually interested or engaged in politics are just baffled at the tenor of what's happening this year. I know that I am. I'm sure that you would agree, Mark, this has been a long, bizarre road to November.
To put it mildly.
Yes, the presidential campaigns are really tapping into a lot of emotion this time around. It is definitely not all positive. I think it's safe to say that the feelings all over the country are running the gamut from disaffection to outrage. Teresa Abbott and I chatted about how the race for the White House might trickle down to local voters here in mid-Michigan. And like many of us, she is seeing some very strong reactions.
There definitely is strong emotion. The particular emotion I'm hearing at the doors is disgust, disillusionment, being tired of it all, feeling like we're not even have rational debates, just really feeling confused and disheartened in not knowing what to believe. But I have been hearing people not sure, even at this point, about who they're going to vote for. I'll tell you about a recent door I was at where the gentleman said, I'm not voting. I'm very unhappy at the top of the ticket, and so I'm not voting. And so I talked to him. I stayed at the door and said how critical it was and for him to please make sure that he voted and make sure he went down the ticket and continue to talk to him. And at the end of it, he said he was reconsidering and he would go to vote. But I think he represents a number of people who just feel like they're so disgusted and so confused as to which one is better or what they're going to do. And I'm hoping that doesn't result in people staying home.
Mark, I don't know about you, but that notion of every vote counts became more than just a marketing slogan for me back in 2000 when we saw the incredibly tight race between Al Gore and George W. Bush. Dare I utter those forbidden words, hanging Chad? The votes in Florida and Ohio were so down to the wire that the presidency ultimately came down to a United States Supreme Court decision.
Really memorable time. So to sum up, Kevin, what is really prompting Teresa Abbott to get back into the ring and to try to get her old job back?
Well, as we touched on at the start, Mark, she says she wants the people to become the priority again and to get the service they're due.
We have an economy that actually is getting better right now. Are we feeling it? Are our middle-class families feeling it? Are our students in the schools feeling it? Are our seniors who are struggling to make it that I meet at the doors every day? Are our veterans when they're in the veterans home and now they have subservice? Who is benefiting from this economy? And we need to make sure, as one person said at the door, and I loved it, it was a person that looked at me and said, all we want is a fair system. And that is what we do not have. And it has not, I have not seen any indication it has changed from when I was in. I was fighting then, I'll fight now, and I'll continue to fight until the people's voice is heard.
Kevin, thank you for that look into the 71st House race. It's a close one. We will hear from you soon about the incumbent, Republican Tom Barrett.
That is definitely my plan, Mark. I'm hoping to connect with Mr. Barrett very soon to hear his take on public service. So as they say, stay tuned.
Thanks again.
It's my pleasure, Mark. Thanks.
We also want to thank our live musical guests here today, Juliana and Andy Wilson of the Springtails. Oh, nice. A nice little flourish there, Andy Wilson. Their most recent CD is called Rain or Shine. We're going to hear Mean Old Way.
Man, I miss the way you sung me to sleep. Good night, eyes. I know your soul will keep. Just keep on dreaming, baby, and tomorrow'll be sweet. Tomorrow when we wake, it'll be day 29. I can't feel the toll of that wild Irish wine. No, I can't tell the difference since you put your heart in. Thank you.
Juliana and Andy Wilson live here at WKAR. They are of the Springtails. Their most recent CD is called Rain or Shine, and what you just heard is track number 6 on the new CD. Welcome to the program.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. What exactly started each of you on your musical journey? I'll start with you, Juliana.
Oh, okay. Well, I...
What's your earliest musical memory?
My earliest music... I think I've just been singing from... for as long as I can remember. I mean, my mom says I was making up songs when I was really young, and but there are photos of me with like a wooden block standing in front of the fireplace singing with my sister, you know.
And the microphone? Oh, it's a full microphone.
Yeah, right. A fake microphone.
Do you remember any of that?
I do remember doing that. Yeah. Just being, I don't know if we were watching some show at the time that we loved, or but my sister and I always liked to sing together, and everybody in my family likes to sing.
Well, so. You play a pretty decent uke, too.
Thank you. That's a new thing. That is, I mean,
really?
Well, newish. 2009 is when I picked up the ukulele.
Okay.
Yeah.
Andy, what about you? How'd your musical journey get started?
Well, you know, I came from a musical family. So, I started piano lessons when I was 5 or 6 years old. And I do remember my father having an old Hohner Marine Band harmonica in the old cardboard box they used to come in, and getting a hold of that when I was about 7 or 8, and I really took to that and loved it, and continued playing piano and studied trumpet, but I always played the harmonica sort of for me. It was the one instrument that nobody made me practice. You know, I had to practice my piano for the half hour or 45 minutes, and same with the trumpet. And the harmonica was my thing. Mm. And that's the one that's really been my favorite and most important instrument really throughout my career. And I've always played it. I never put it down since I was 7 years old.
It seems to me that if you get proficient on the harmonica, you are guaranteed gigging opportunities. You know, I mean, if you know your way around that, you can compliment any band, any sound. They'll find a place for you.
Yeah,
right?
They
Is that
will.
The case?
Well,
I've always assumed that.
It's interesting because there's not many bands in the world that feel they need a harmonica. It's not like being a bassist or something like that, or a drummer, you know. But the harmonica easily fits into so many different styles of music. I mean, I think the blues is what most people think of. But it's also really easy to sit in with bands and things, to have this instrument in your pocket.
Exactly.
That all they need is a spare vocal mic up there somewhere, and you can just jump up on stage and play. And I find that often gives me a little opportunity to jump up on stage and make some noise.
How did you end up with this kind of collection of songs, or this kind of style of song that you specialize in, kind of the acoustic swing bluesy ballad? I mean, you kind of touch on a lot of different styles really with the songs that you do. How did that unfold exactly?
Well, I guess I think I'm probably responsible for most of the song selections. It's just whatever songs speak to me, or what I, you know, that I pick up and want to learn. Or and some of, I don't write too many songs. There is an original on there, and we'll play it at the end of the show. But we're mostly, I feel like, a song collector or a curator, and it's sort of it's all about the story, and then the feelings behind that, the emotions behind that song, and. So whatever draws me, but it's from a lot of different genres, like you pointed out. It's really hard to characterize like what our band is when we had to select, you know, like what kind of, for this CD in particular, we had to categorize it so that it could be pop up in iTunes in the right place.
Understood.
You know?
And, yeah.
But so if you love, you know, great songwriting, it's hard to avoid the Great American Songbook, and we draw quite a bit from there.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, if you love great, I mean, I love the singer-songwriters of today, but I don't know that any of them compete with Cole Porter.
I think a lot of people would agree with you, by all means. Their most recent CD is called Rain or Shine. We're talking with Juliana and Andy Wilson of the Springtails. thespringtails.com, and we'll learn about some upcoming performances as well as hear more live music from Juliana and Andy coming up here on WKAR's Live Music Friday. Back to the live music. Andy and Juliana Wilson of the Springtails are here performing songs from their most recent CD and others. The most recent is called Rain or Shine. Let's hear That's My Weakness Now. That's My Weakness Now. Andy and Juliana Wilson of the Springtails live here on Live Music Friday on Current State on WKAR. That an original? That's somebody else's song.
Well, that's somebody else's, okay. but we modified it.
Yeah, I changed some lyrics in it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a really quite an old song, 1920s.
I think it's interesting. I learned a song from Cliff Edwards, who was also went by the name Ukulele Ike, and got his real fame and fortune when he became the voice of Jiminy Cricket for Walt Disney. So he was the man who sang When You Wish Upon a Star,
oh, sure,
and Give a Little Whistle, and had a beautiful voice. Yeah. So I learned it from Jiminy Cricket. And
but I learned it from Helen Kane, who was also the voice
Boop.
Of Betty Boop.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are different versions of that song with different sets of lyrics depending on who sang it. And then so I took that as a license, basically, to change it
in
for my
end.
Purposes. Too.
In the end, every song is yours. You decide to perform it, right?
That's right. It becomes your thing.
Andy, talk to a lot of our listeners know that you have been a member of Steppin' In It. Talk to us about your time in that band.
Oh, fantastic time in that band. I was a founding member in 1998 when we started that group. I was in a band with the bassist Dominic, who at that point went by Dominic Suhita and is now Dominic Davis. And So I started playing with Dominic in 96, and in 1998, our band that we had at that point sort of fell apart, and we found ourselves looking for a new guitarist slash lead singer, and through a friend of a friend, met Joshua Davis, and the rest was history, you know, and we had a great time. Spent quite a lot of time as a four-piece group driving around the country in an Econoline van, and my twin brother was one of those four, so we were roommates on the road, you know. We'd get two hotel rooms, and Joe and I'd get one of them, and Dominic and Josh were, by default, had to be roommates as well. And we had a great time and had some great gigs, and we still get together and play every now and again, but we're not playing that much. Josh has his, of course, has gone on to do his thing with NBC's The Voice, and Dominic has found his fame and fortune with Jack White and others down in Nashville, Tennessee, so Dominic, we get together occasionally.
Dominic was just on the show because he's going to be on Prairie Home Companion playing with Jack White on Saturday night here on WKAR, 6 o'clock. You're the newest iteration of a Prairie Home Companion with Chris Thiele.
Oh, the new version, yes.
As the host. Are you playing on the new album Joshua's recording?
No, I am not.
You are a member, though, as you alluded. You're with your twin brother Joe and the Wilson Brothers Band. Bring us up to speed on what you do there.
The Wilson Brothers Band, and we've gone through various versions of that as well. Recently, we've been playing just as a duo, just the two of us, and we take the word band away, and it's just the Wilson Brothers.
Okay.
Although we did recently, we added a percussionist, Bob Bryan, and he's the same drummer that works with the Springtails, and that went quite well, and the Wilson Brothers sort of do this sort of intense variety show. My father saw us for the first time, and at the set break, he said, "Boy, you guys are an assault on your expectations, you know, because we'll do a Cajun song and then we'll follow it with a, you know, 7-8 classical piece, and then we'll do an Irish reggae thing, you know, and some of it is instrumental and some of it's vocal, and it's kind of an interesting show."
Well, we will hear more here from Andy and Juliana Wilson of the Springtails coming up in just a little bit here on WKAR's Current State. It's a Live Music Friday here. Their latest CD is called Rain or Shine. Andy and Juliana Wilson here on WKAR. Stay where you are. We'll hear a little bit more music from them. Where are you performing next, Andy and Juliana Wilson?
Where are we performing next? We have the thing at the Broad Museum.
Yes, there's a benefit with the Midmiac group at the Broad Museum coming up on December 1st. And then
benefits Art in the Wild.
That's right.
Very good.
Yeah. And then we'll be playing at Moriarty's again in December as well. I don't remember the exact date, but that'll be up on our website.
Yeah, we have a really fun show in the middle of January 14th, down in Marshall, Michigan at the Frank Theater. That will include the Wilson Brothers and Don Julin and a bunch of great music.
Very good.
Yeah.
You can learn all about it at their website, thespringtails.com. A big thank you to Juliana and Andy Wilson here of the Springtails for performing live for us here today on Live Music Friday. Break a leg. Have a great weekend. Thank you for being here.
Thanks.
Up all your worries, don't be in a hurry, enjoy the show. Life is just a journey,